The Christian Peacemaker Teams is a social justice organization operating in conflict zones throughout the world, from Colombia to Palestine to Iraq. The CPT focuses on peacemaking, which emphasizes creative public witness, nonviolent direct action, and protection of human rights. In the lead-up to the US-led invasion of Iraq, the CPT established a presence in Baghdad in October 2002, which continued throughout the invasion and until today under the subsequent US military occupation. The CPT's work in Iraq attempts to expose abusive acts by US armed forces and support Iraqis committed to nonviolent resistance against the occupation. On the 26th of November, the CPT presence in occupied Iraq was changed forever. Four members of the group were abducted: two Canadians, James Loney, Harmeet Sudden, one American, Tom Fox, and one British citizen, Norman Kember. A previously unknown group called the Swords of Righteousness Brigade has claimed responsibility for the kidnappings and demanded that all Iraqi prisoners be released in exchange for the safe return of the four activist hostages. An original deadline was extended until December 10th, and until today, no clear word regarding the fate of the hostages is known, despite worldwide calls for their release. The CPT kidnapping in Iraq has been met with an exceptional and powerful response from the Middle East, with countless Muslim organizations and political groups calling for the immediate release of the CPT hostages, including resistance groups from the occupied territories of Palestine, where the CPT has maintained a presence in opposition to the Israeli occupation for a number of years. Major Muslim scholars from throughout the world have also denounced the kidnappings and demanded the CPT activists' release. From Canada, the Canadian Islamic Congress sent community activist Ihab Lutaif, an Egyptian-Canadian, to Iraq in early December to hold meetings with Islamic groups in Baghdad and speak publicly to the Arabic media, attesting to the nature of the CPT's anti-occupation work and the mutual trust which exists between the CPT and Muslim organizations in Canada. Lutaif's visit received international media coverage and was also covered widely inside of Iraq, where on December 9th, he held a press conference with the influential Association of Muslim Scholars, appealing for the CPT hostages' release. Shortly after Ihab returned from occupied Iraq, I had an opportunity to interview him for CKUT Radio in Montreal and the Electronic Iraq Media Project. In the interview, Ihab spoke on his experiences traveling to Iraq, representing the Canadian Islamic Congress in the context of the CPT hostage taking, which has shocked the world. Ihab describes his experiences in Iraq and how he views the work of the CPT within the larger context of movements throughout the world calling for an immediate end to the US-led military occupation of Iraq.
We have to put the whole issue in context of the chaos that's taking place in Iraq. Iraq lived through 12 years of sanctions, followed by the American and coalition of the willing, as they call it, invasion in 2003. And till today, although we sometimes are under the pressure to be optimistic with elections widely reported, the situation in Iraq is still very grave, and people in Iraq Lots of them don't have hope. They're living in very harsh conditions. And in such an environment, anything can happen, and any misunderstanding, misconception, or any ideology can grow without being checked with reality. And within these conditions, somebody decided that the CPT workers should be abducted and traded for, or at least that was announced, traded for the Iraqi prisoners in American and Iraqi jails. And with this in mind, we people around the world who knew about the CPT, knew about their commitment to justice and commitment to peace and commitment to supporting the weak and supporting people facing injustice anywhere in the world, being it the Middle East or being it here in Canada, because they have also lots of activities in trying to support people under the security certificate, for example, held without trial here in Canada, always demonstrate against the militarization of Canada and the American military hegemony that's trying to take over the world. When we heard, and when I say we here, I'm talking about all the organizations that I'm affiliated with in one way or another, whether they be Muslim or Arab organizations or be activist organizations in general, heard about this, the first thing we wanted to say very clearly is that these people are working for the Iraqi people in the case of Iraq, and there is no reason whatsoever to think of them as spies. There is no reason whatsoever to think of them as evangelists going there to change people's religion. They are there to support the people, both in humanitarian way and also in an anti-occupation way and also in an anti-police state way, because the CPT actually was one of the first organizations to stand in front of the Abu Ghraib, famous now Abu Ghraib jail, before it became famous in the outskirts of Baghdad, and demonstrate there and try to gather information through talking to family relatives about their loved ones that are missing and all that stuff. So we try to say this very clearly, as you mentioned, there was an outpour of statements of support and statements of condemnation of the abduction of the CPT workers. But at a certain point, it was probably 7 days into the ordeal, I was in contact with a few Muslim organizations to issue more statements, and then the idea came out that why don't you go to Baghdad and do the same thing over there. And actually, this has crossed my mind personally before this came up in verbally, but I didn't think of it as a realistic thing, or maybe I didn't like think of it fully. So when that was said, I reflected on it again, and without a lot of hesitation, maybe without hesitation at all, I said, I'm all for it. Give me till the morning to make a final decision. And by the morning I believe it was Sunday, I had decided, yes, I'm going to go. And if I can do nothing but just state the same thing in Baghdad, in Arabic, in front of the Arabic media that would report what I'm saying, first-hand reporting, not carried through wires and through internet or whatever, then I hope that would mean something and that would help towards a positive resolution, a happy resolution of this, mm-hmm. of this conflict. And this is how it all started.
Many people across Canada saw your words on television when you were in Iraq, or heard it on the radio, the efforts that you made as part of an international effort to demand the release of the CPT hostages. Could you reflect a little bit on what took place in Baghdad while you were there, and maybe talk about the reactions from people you met in Iraq to the CPT and their work? And I'd say more broadly, the presence of social justice activists in Iraq on the ground in Baghdad. How do people generally perceive activists' work there?
At a certain point when I arrived in Amman, Jordan, I wasn't even sure that I'll be able to reach Baghdad, because traveling to and from Baghdad is a very unpredictable thing. And I did not know that, for example, I needed a visa, because when I visited Iraq before 2 years ago, I went just in through the airport with my Canadian passport. But this time, the airlines would not book me a ticket to Baghdad without having an Iraqi visa, which I did not have. And then started this mission impossible to get an Iraqi visa after actually the consulate office had closed in the Iraqi embassy. And it was one of the situations where I felt that God exists, there are miracles that happen, really, because within 2 hours, facing all odds and all bureaucracy, I had the visa. And when I went back to the airline who had held a seat for me, he couldn't believe that I did have the visa. I mean, because, you know, sometimes they just send you away to an impossible thing just to get rid of you. And so anyway, I landed in Baghdad on Friday, and I had done a few contacts from Amman, Jordan, with the Association of Muslim Scholars in Iraq, for example, to hold some talks with them in a press conference. And that turned out to be, again, thank God, a very good decision to have, because it was covered widely. And as soon as we arrived to the headquarters of the Association of Muslim Scholars, there was lots of Arabic media there, and that was my goal. I mean, I wasn't there to be covered by the Western media. I was there to get my word through the Arabic media. And as soon as I saw them, I said, the whole thing is worth it. All this difficulty is worth it. Of course, I don't like to use the word success or whatever, because success is really when we get the hostages freed. And the real success is when this ugly occupation ends. And that's what the CPT workers themselves were working for. So I met with the Sheikh Abdussalam al-Qubaisi, who really turned out to be a very intelligent, visionary person. And he had already, before my arrival, spoken very strongly against the abduction of the CPT workers. Many people in Iraq who knew the work of the CPT had no doubt about the nature of their work, had no doubt about the goodwill that they were carrying towards the Iraqi people. But again, Iraq is a country where it went from only government tightly controlled media in 2003 to hundreds of newspapers coming out a day or a week in 2005. There is a lot of misinformation, a lot of lack of information, and the CPT is a small organization. It is not like Oxfam or what. It's a very small organization that many people did not hear about. And this is where the second part of my short visit to Baghdad was concentrated on. I tried to meet with key political or key community figures in Baghdad and assure them and tell them that I know CPT people personally. I know the CPT work personally. I am here talking to you as an Arab, as a Muslim, as a person who supported the Iraqi cause for years. And I assure you that those people are good people. And it was amazing how it was easy and clear to people by just stating a few facts that, yes, there is a mistake here, and we have to talk to our people in the community. We have to talk to our villages, our urban connections, our suburban connections, our rural connections, everybody. And people did that while I was sitting with them. You know, they just picked up their phones and started calling and told me, wait, don't go, you know, let me try to do what I can already. So it wasn't that complicated as soon as people know. It was the people who didn't know that were the problem. The other thing that really blew me away, and I didn't hear about it except at the evening of Friday, December 9th, that I was there, is that from Imam Al-Azam Mosque, which is one of the biggest mosques in Baghdad, a demonstration went out after Friday prayer. And I guess demonstrations going out of mosques after Friday prayer in Baghdad are not a rare occasion since the occupation. But usually it's a demonstration against the occupation or against the abduction of Iraqi people from their homes or the treatment by the Iraqi government or. This demonstration went out carrying banners saying, free our CPT friends, free the people that were helping us. And this was like shocking to me. I wouldn't expect that this would have happened. The Friday sermon itself in that mosque was centered around this issue. So adding one word to the words that are said is what I was there to do. And I tried to do it as strongly as I could.
Mm-hmm. Now, you traveled to Iraq also in 2003, and that was in the context of less than a year after the U.S.-led invasion. You were writing reports, taking photos, a part of an activist project in Iraq, the Iraq Solidarity Project. Now, I'm wondering just maybe if you could expand more on the role and the links and the connections between, let's say, social justice movements in North America and movements on the ground in Iraq. Obviously, there's wide opposition to the American occupation, but the situation, I think, really illustrates a connection between the organizing work happening here against the occupation and for justice in Iraq and people on the ground in Iraq who, of course, are rejecting the foreign occupation. How important from your experiences and everything that has happened recently in the context of these abductions, how important is it to forge these connections more and build more links between social justice movements here and the people on the ground in Iraq?
Well, of course, let's not be under any illusion. The decisions that affect the whole world are taken in the government offices, whether it's in D.C. or in Ottawa or to different levels, of course, and in corporate offices and corporate areas. And that is why the people in Iraq, when they are fighting against the occupation or fighting against any injustice that's happening to them, are fighting, let's call it fighting an enemy that's very, very much shielded from them, an enemy that sends young kids to execute their orders. And thus, this coordination between what's happening on the ground in a place like Iraq, and I can expand that to many other places in the world as well, and the social justice movement here in North America or in Europe is extremely important, because we could be more effective here in North America to corner the forces that affect the situation on the ground in Baghdad, in Iraq. And it is very important for us to understand what's going on there. It's very important for them to know what work we are trying to do here, not work in two different spheres. It's also very important for us not to assume that we understand their problems and we can speak in their name and offer solutions in their name. It has to be the solutions they want, not hypothetical solutions that we might be thinking of. Let me put it this way. If it wasn't for some of the activists in Baghdad, in this mission I went to in particular, I would have achieved zero. Because it is through our communication before I arrived in Baghdad that the picture was clear. What can I do and what can you do to help me? And we went from there and took it forward to what happened. And of course, that doesn't happen out of void, because if we as activists here in Montreal had no contact with the situation in Iraq, no firsthand dealings with it, we would not have understood how to act. I would not have understood how to, or where to act, or where to go. Mm-hmm. So it is extremely important to continue those, although it is very difficult, because sometimes the people in Iraq would lose hope, and rightly so, would lose hope in what change we can offer. And you mentioned my previous visit to Baghdad in 2003, or to Iraq, because it was a wider visit at the time. And since then, 9 months after the occupation, people would tell me, you are the nth activist to come here and take photos and write and say you're going to write and you're going to do. What's that going to do? We're fed up with that. And I reflect that also to the Palestinians, for example, on the ground, when they see those internationals come and go, and they say at the end, what are you doing? Are you just using us as a photo op, or you think? But we have to believe that there is something, even though small, that we can achieve. And we have to try to make it real for them as well, not sell dreams. It is also very important for us to be there, because within going there, it is much easier to understand the context of reports that come about, opinion polls that are taken on the ground on Iraq, and sometimes how they are biased in the way they are reported. I was back in Amman, Jordan, when this latest opinion poll was released, and I could understand that most of Iraqis would say that they expect the future to be better than the past. Well, they have to have hope. I don't think from the people I talk to that they have a real reason, strong reason to believe that, but they have to have hope in the future, and that's why they would vote in a poll in that way. There are things that are not reported. They also said in the same poll that they think that situation now is worse than it was under Saddam Hussein. That was not reported in the West. That was a part of the same opinion poll which said that most of them think that the future is going to be better than the past. So it is important from many aspects to continue this link, and becoming more and more difficult every day. I have to say that the existence of foreigners in Iraq is becoming more and more dangerous. It's becoming more and more dangerous to be on the streets of Baghdad, whether you're a foreigner or even an Iraqi, or even an undistinguishable face like myself who can be an Iraqi or can be not. So this is getting more and more difficult, and whatever links we can continue to have, we have to try to have, because this is the only alternative to hotel journalism, which is what's happening in Baghdad today, where most of the international journalists cannot go out of their hotels with their own admittance. They don't go out of their hotels. Without mentioning names, one of the Canadian networks wanted to interview me, and they had to ask me which hotel I'm staying in, and before they can answer me whether they can come and interview me or not, they had to check with their security staff whether they can come to that hotel. Is it one of the safe areas or isn't it? But things happen on the street. They don't happen in hotels, and they don't happen in secured hotels in Baghdad. And that's unfortunately what we hear here all the time. Reports from inside hotel lobbies that don't reflect the situation in the street.
Shortly after the CPT activists were abducted in Iraq, Paul Martin called the abductions a, quote, callous act of terror. And since that time, Martin has been making statements publicly saying that the Canadian government is doing all it can to try and negotiate the release or to pressure for the release of these activists who are so clearly standing in opposition to the occupation and the realities of occupation that you just talked about. Now, it seems from what you've described and what was reported in the mainstream media and what has been widely talked about regarding the CPT hostages, that you have achieved a lot more than what could have been achieved or what was achieved by the Canadian government. I know it's probably not possible to compare the two, but maybe talk about those words that Mr. Martin said, callous acts of terror, in reference to the hostage takings, the reaction of the Canadian government, and why you felt it important to launch, let's say, a parallel initiative.
To be honest and to be fair, we don't know. I don't know what the Canadian government is doing. I don't know what efforts they're doing on the ground. It was very important for me to be away from governmental issues because that could right away put in question my credibility in a situation like this, with an abduction like this. So I hope that the Canadian government is doing what it can to help. I hope any entity who can help in any way is doing what it can. Like what you said, I hope that what I did can complement that. I really hope that even if it's a small thing, it helped in a positive direction. But unfortunately, and that's since before I left to Baghdad, I didn't appreciate at all the fact that this was another opportunity by our government to voice big words against international terrorism or against... There were human lives at stake here. And political gains should be put on hold and can wait always when human life is in danger. We needed a positive attitude towards freeing those good people that are held. And we should have focused on that as a government and as a people. And I hope that this didn't harm the situation. You know, sometimes we say that hopefully what happens here in Canada gets reported there on the ground. And some other cases we say we hope that what happens here does not get reported there on the ground, because it can be either way. So I really think that there are two efforts that should go in parallel. I did not ever look at myself as a negotiator, as was reported about me in some medias. Although I have to be honest, I would have done whatever I could to help in this situation, but I didn't go there as a negotiator. I didn't think that from all the people that could be contacted by the takers of the CPT workers, I would be the one who would be in touch with them. So it's a complicated situation that needs a lot of effort, and we hope that it ends up happily, and doesn't matter who broke through, the importance that it gets broken through, and we get a good result, a good final outcome.
You have been listening to an interview with Ihab Lotaif, an Egyptian-Canadian social justice activist who traveled to Iraq in early December 2005 as an envoy of the Canadian Islamic Congress in the context of the kidnapping of four Western activists in Baghdad involved with the Christian Peacemaker Teams. The Christian Peacemaker Teams is a social justice organization operating in conflict zones throughout the world, from Colombia to Palestine to Iraq. The CPT focuses on peacemaking, which emphasizes creative public witness, nonviolent direct action, and protection of human rights. In the lead-up to the US-led invasion of Iraq, the CPT established a presence in Baghdad in October 2002, which continued throughout the invasion and until today under the subsequent U.S. military occupation. The CPT's work in Iraq attempts to expose abusive acts by U.S. armed forces and support Iraqis committed to nonviolent resistance against the occupation. This interview detailed Ihab Lotaif's experience traveling to Iraq in early December to hold meetings with Islamic groups in Baghdad and speak publicly to the Arabic media, attesting to the nature of the CPT's anti-occupation work and the mutual trust which exists between the CPT and Muslim organizations in Canada. Lotaif's visit received international media coverage and was also covered widely inside of Iraq, where on December 9th, he held a press conference with the influential Association of Muslim Scholars, appealing for the CPT hostages' release. Until today, the world waits, while continuing to demand and call for the immediate release of the four CPT hostages, whose fate in Iraq remains unknown. For more information on the Christian Peacemaker teams, visit their website at www.cpt.org. That's www.cpt.org. For detailed information regarding the situation of the kidnapped CPT activists and analysis on the ongoing U.S.-led occupation of Iraq, visit the Electronic Iraq Media Project at www.electronicirac.net. That's www.electronicirac.net. This interview was conducted and produced for CKUT Radio and the Electronic Iraq Media Project by Stefan Christophe in Montreal.